Connecting the dots. Connecting his guests to the world. Creating more connections. Welcome to The Connection with your host, Jay Morales, podcasting from the Parkville Studios.
Welcome to The Connection. I'm your host, Jay Morales, and this is episode number 4. The mission of The Connection is to connect the dots to the community, to my guests, and how they're connected to the community and to the world. So my guest in the Parkville studio today is Angie Jorgensen, currently Mrs. River City and a contestant for Mrs. Nebraska 2019. Hi, Angie. How are you?
I'm great, Jay. How are you?
I'm excited to have you here, and we're personal friends, so this should just be like me and you chatting.
Okay? Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm going to start this off. Tell us something interesting about yourself that perhaps are funny that no one knows.
Interesting about me. My family could probably tell you a bunch of things. I think they're highly normal. Like, example, on my way here today, my GPS took me through a winding neighborhood, past turkeys, you name it, right here in good old Nebraska. And I have my own systematic way of organization. That's kind of boring. But I got to tell you, one of my favorite things lately that's interesting is the different cool poses I'm learning in hot yoga.
Oh, my gosh.
Different headstands, things like that. You know, it's a work in progress.
Okay, well, good. I know your passion is health, and we'll get to all that. So, Angie, let's just introduce who you are. Who are you today, and what keeps you busy? Talk about your family. Just paint the picture for someone who never met Angie Jorgensen before.
Well, much like, gosh, every woman I know, we've got a very busy life, but that's a gift. That's a really great thing, and you know, we're busy by choice.
Right.
People that say, I'm busy, like, really, we're all busy.
Right, right.
And it's what we're putting into the time.
Absolutely.
For me, I am married to my husband, John, and we are going on 11 amazing years, and
awesome.
Many more as friends and so forth in years before that, but together we have 4 great kids.
Yes.
2 are out of the house already and college age and doing that thing.
Awesome.
We have another about to graduate, another that's a freshman.
Oh my goodness. And so 4 kids keeps you busy.
Yes.
In the house or not, they still keep you busy.
Absolutely. We never stop thinking about them 24/7 anyway with all the things they have going on.
Sports is a big part of your guys' life.
Sports is huge. In fact, we leave today around 4 to watch Josh play in his first round of districts at basketball at Lincoln High.
So. Oh my gosh. So that should be fun. I hope the roads are safe for you guys tonight.
And we want a good big win.
Yes, absolutely. So professionally, what do you do?
Professionally, I am a sales director with Mary Kay. Have enjoyed doing that for 20 plus years and have loved it. The thing I said I'd never do, but had a blast doing it.
So what do you love about Mary Kay? So how long again for Mary Kay?
Over 20 years. In fact,
think
over 25.
That. Do you know how many people start in an industry like that and they just stop? What has kept you going with Mary Kay?
You know, I started it kind of as a hobby alongside 3 other jobs I was working, thinking it would
just... Of 3 other jobs.
Yeah, because if you have 3 jobs, why not a 4th? You know?
Because it's not enough.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
And I started thinking I'd do 1 or 2 appointments here and there.
Sure.
And see what happened.
Yeah.
And then from there, as it grew, I thought, you know, this is kind of a nice side hustle. Maybe, you know, as it grew, I just kind of phased out of 1 job and then another, and then eventually it became my full-time thing.
Absolutely.
Alongside teaching fitness classes, which
yes,
I still do.
And you teach at Lifetime.
Yes, correct. Lifetime Fitness.
What classes are you instructing?
Right now I'm currently teaching a class called Shred.
Okay.
Which is, it is a very productive 45-minute workout.
Productive, you call it. I call it difficult.
it's great fun. It's great fun. It's a great diverse workout, and have taught a variety of things through the years, but that's one that I'm definitely doing a lot of right now. And I have even shook it up a little bit with Dance Jam and Zumba. So
that's,
you know,
awesome. That's awesome. We're gonna help you connect all the dots, and we're gonna jump around, but because I love your story. So I wanna talk about you're a contestant. You're technically Mrs. River City right now, right?
Yes.
Now you're on your way to be a candidate or a contestant for Mrs. Nebraska 2019. Why? How? What happened for you to enter this, you know, contest? Or what? How did it all come about?
Well, I had a good friend who I came to know through working, volunteering with the American Heart Association. And she had mentioned years ago, considering the Mrs. Nebraska pageant, and I, at the time, had so much going on in my life, and one of them was extreme lack of energy from overcoming an illness, and so it was something I tossed out as quick as she mentioned.
Right.
But we actually had coffee about a month or two ago, and she brought it up again, and amidst me sitting there saying I was feeling the best I had felt in 10 years, and wow, 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 and the next thing you know, I'm doing this thing that was completely, honestly, outside of my comfort zone. It was not on my radar. And at the time, I thought, because you don't want to do it, that's why you should.
So bring me back to when she said, I think you should do this. What was your answer this time, and how did it go? What was your answer back to her? How did she ask it?
Well, she mentioned it, and I just kind of looked at her for a moment. And she said, you know how you love any kind of an opportunity to talk about health, to encourage people, to spread positivity and gratitude.
Yes.
And I said, yes, I do. And she said, that is another forum. It is a great platform, a great venue for you to be able to do that on an even greater level.
Right.
And so for me, what a great way to honor the women who have done that before.
Yes.
But also, I what became something I wasn't sure about when I initially started has actually been a kind of a blast. It's been a blast.
So you knew nothing of the pageant really before. Did you ever pay attention to it, though? I mean, not that you didn't know anything, but...
I had never even seen 5 minutes of a pageant ever in my life.
Really?
So, I mean, I had no idea.
You've never entered a formal pageant yourself, like put on all this work, you know, for a pageant?
No.
In your mind, what did the word pageant mean before you know what you know now? Like, really, like, what was your take on it? Did you, I could never do that, or, oh my gosh, or what was it?
No, I honestly just never considered it. I truly just never considered it because I'd never really watched one.
Sure.
I mean, I look at women who probably were, I think, honestly, I do get a little bit of an element of that with Mary Kay, because we definitely do the onstage thing, and they definitely do up awards night like it's the Oscars.
Yes.
And so it's not a foreign thing to put on a beaded gown and rock it down the
A beaded gown. That's so awesome. And I saw your beaded gown, by the way, which looks fabulous. And you said that was a friend who said, you know what, you look great in this. Is that right, with the beaded gown?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's not the one I'm going to wear, but you know, it's a whatever. It's
okay,
a possibility.
Well, it's one of the beaded gowns. Wow.
That's
multiple
right.
beaded gowns. So, so you know, I know you personally, and I know this is out of your comfort zone, but you've never been one to be just sitting in your comfort zone. And I'm going to take you down way out of your comfort zone right now, and I want to talk about your health journey or what has happened, you know, and your amazing story. So bring me back to the night that you were struck by your health.
Well, first of all, when you mentioned comfort zone, I honestly believe life is best lived outside of it. And if you're not blasting your comfort zone on a regular basis, you're just pretty boring.
You're not.
Right?
You're not growing, right?
Yeah, you're
and
not
I'll be honest, you're never boring, Angie. I can tell you that right now. So your energy when you come into a room, you just light it up. I love it.
Thank you. Thank
you. So let's talk serious here now.
Okay. So I literally grew up. I grew up loving sports and health my whole life.
Yes.
I ran marathons.
Yes.
I taught fitness classes probably from the age of 20.
Wow.
You know, 5 years ago.
Yes, absolutely. 5 years ago, right?
plus a few.
Yes.
Anyway,
we're not going to count.
That's right. That's right. Timeless. I had not been feeling well, and just kind of attributed it to my body going through changes hormonally and whatnot, and my doctor visits were coming back pretty normal, so I can't say there were red flags. But on the morning of December 7th, 2012, I woke up and was feeling absolutely horrible. My husband actually had planned to go out of town on a hunting trip with a good friend.
Right.
He had received a text the night before saying, let's cancel the trip this time. The direction of the wind has changed.
Oh,
that was a wink by the Holy Spirit,
yes.
I think.
I take it they weren't hunting bears or anything like that.
No,
not with the wind.
No, they were not. But I woke up that morning feeling horrible. The kids had just left for school.
Yep.
And moments later, I was going into cardiac arrest.
My goodness.
I went into the bathroom thinking I was going to be sick. I sank down on the floor, and that's where I probably would have stayed.
Wow.
My husband, thank goodness, happened to be there, so he followed me into the bathroom. I had the presence of mind to say, help me, and then hospital.
Mm.
He drove me in the ditch in morning rush hour traffic to get me to Lakeside Hospital.
It was like one of the wildest drives that anyone can do in a vehicle in a city. And yeah. You guys hit ditches, like you said. He was going around traffic, right?
Yes, we were sitting on 180th Street, waiting, kind of stuck in school traffic. And I remember him saying, hang on, and then just driving in the ditch. I was barely there. I mean, I was really crashing. And so I do kind of remember getting into the hospital, barely being able to sit into a wheelchair, and they took me straight back, bypass checking me in and everything. Then they basically ushered my husband out of the room. And the last thing I remember was John grabbing my hand and saying, through thick and thin. And that's the last thing I remember. Moments later, I coded twice, once for 15 minutes before they brought me back with CPR.
Can you explain when you're coded? Can you break that down for the listener right now? Can you tell me?
When you code, you die. Your heartbeat is gone.
It stops.
Yeah, it stops. And for my family, at that point, John had called to alert my family to ask questions because they were trying to understand what had happened to this seemingly healthy woman.
Right.
And so they had all gathered at the hospital, and they were all standing there when they heard code blue go over the
intercom.
The intercom, and people running into my room and so forth. And so I can't imagine what that was like for them.
See, here you are thinking of everybody else. You know, you're just selfless, Angie.
Well, you think about, especially as a mom and your kids and I mean, what, I don't know what that would be a little crazy to go through.
Right. So over the midst of a few days, you were in and out of, you were coding still, right?
Yes.
And then what else happened?
What happened was I coded once for 15 minutes, and then again before they brought me back with CPR, I think a total of maybe 20 minutes. At that point, I had 5% heart life. They told my family, say goodbye to her. She's not going to make it, but we're going to try to life flight her to Nebraska Medicine to get her to higher care.
Okay.
My family said goodbye. They life flighted me over there.
Hold on. Your family was saying their goodbyes, or they were saying goodbye to you temporarily?
They said their goodbyes. They told my family that if she survives the flight, they said, we don't think she's even going to survive the flight over there. And if she does, we're still giving her a less than 10% chance of survival.
Can you tell me what John's perspective, because I'm sure he shared that with you at that moment. Did he fly with you? Was he holding your, what happened then before
he was flight? Not able to fly with me. Okay. It was just the pilots and I. I know that he went through a lot at the hospital at that time. In fact, he wasn't able to drive to Nebraska Medicine. My dad had to drive him over there. But I tell you what, once I got there and I made it alive, mm-hmm. my family told me as well that, and John is too humble to mention this, but my family said that he was like a rock. When I got to the hospital alive, he was like, he didn't entertain anything else other than me surviving.
Man.
So, he stayed by my bed every single day, every night there at the hospital while I was there.
And you also suffered strokes.
Yes.
Correct.
When I got to Nebraska Medicine, they hooked me up to a machine called ECMO, which stands for extracorporeal machine with oxygenation.
Yes.
Basically.
That's a final goodbye machine. That's a machine where they're just preserving at this point, correct?
It's a machine that does the work of your heart and your lungs because your body is not strong enough to do it. It literally takes the blood out of your body, oxygenates it, puts it back in artificially, doing the whole process. It's honestly an amazing machine. And it honestly, I guess for simple, takes a mostly dead person, puts you on hold while they try to figure out what's wrong with you. I had at least one stroke. I had all my organs shut down, kidney, liver, all of it. I had blood pressure of over 300 over 155 documented in a medical journal.
That's crazy.
I had broken ribs and a cracked sternum from the CPR that I had received.
Right.
And it was a pretty awful week. I slept through it.
Yes.
To my credit.
Yes.
Thankfully. Yes. But my family basically kept coming in shifts throughout the week at the hospital, and they just managed while I was in a coma.
And so then they discovered what it was, correct?
Yes. Through the course of the week, my husband did sign to put me on a heart transplant list if I needed one.
Right. Because that's what they thought it was. They thought the heart was going.
Initially, they thought it was a heart virus and that I would have to have a heart transplant mm-hmm. to survive.
Mm-hmm.
With only 5% functioning heart life, I mean, it was not a great prognosis, obviously.
Right.
But in the course of the week, they were doing all kinds of tests to see what else was wrong, what else could be wrong. Mm-hmm. And in that process, they had kind of noticed throughout the course of the week that my heart would get 5% better, and then 5% better, and then 10% better. And through one of the scans, they had noticed I also had a tumor on my adrenal gland.
Right.
A rare condition called pheochromocytoma. About half of them they are estimated to find in autopsy. Very rare.
Right. When it's too late.
Yeah. Yes. And usually if they catch it, it's more in hypertension, different issues with people. For me, I just never showed those signs. And so the rare few, I don't even know that Nebraska Medicine had somebody come in quite like I did.
Because it's so rare.
Yes. Yes. Totally rare. And so I through the course of the week, though, they noticed this happened. So on December 12th, 2012, on 12-12-12, my heart ended up coming back fully functional.
Wow.
Out of nowhere. Pretty cool. And a great date.
You're always out of nowhere, though. So keep going, Andy. Tell me about that.
Well, I look back, and my mom kept a journal during the time all this was going on.
Wow.
Every day.
Yes.
In prayer, and I probably to keep herself sane as a mom. And so when she shared that with me later, to read all this from her point of view was quite something.
Yes.
For me, you know, at that point when they diagnosed, they figured this out, they said, they also prepared my family for this. They said,
right.
Here's the deal. With all that she has sustained, with the strokes, with being gone
right.
for the amount of time that
clinically
she was without a
dead.
Heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
We don't know what you're going to wake up to. We don't know if she's going to know who she is, yet alone you.
My gosh.
And so they kind of prepared him for that all over again.
Yes.
I woke up 2 days later, a total invalid. I couldn't walk. I couldn't use my hands.
You had to teach yourself all over again.
I could barely speak. Pretty much. I know that I almost coded again when they took me off ECMO.
Yes.
And then nearly again when I was awake. So I was basically with... To give kind of a little explanation, pheochromocytoma. Okay, so that tumor was on my adrenal gland.
Yes.
Your adrenals are what put out epinephrine, norepinephrine, adrenaline.
Right.
That tumor had spiked my adrenaline to over 500 times the level your body should have, which is, for me, what threw me into cardiac arrest.
Right.
It was like a lightning strike to my heart.
My goodness.
And the doctors kept saying, you know, the only reason we can think of that she withstood this was because she was very healthy to begin with, and maybe that's why her heart withstood it. And I say, oh, that and a miracle, because they really, you know, I got incredible medical care, and I will never downplay that.
I mean, that's a medical miracle.
It is. It is a medical miracle. And so many of them were like, wow, you have a serious guardian angel.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So you've been using your health journey on different platforms. Who are you involved with? And then I want to talk about your two new friends here before we wrap it up.
Absolutely.
So tell me what you've done. Now that instead of playing victim, you are victor. And you are just using it. You're using your superpowers for good right now. What messages and where have you been able to spread those messages?
Well, there were many defining moments along the process, but I remember one in particular. Mm-hmm. When I was strapped down to the hospital bed still.
Right.
I had, you know, I still couldn't use my hands. I couldn't do anything really.
Right.
But I remember I had the presence of mind to think.
Yes.
Thank you, God. I get to go to my daughter's graduation, and this has to be a miracle. And I promise I will, if you walk with me through this.
Yes, you tested him.
I will do everything I can to pay it forward.
Yes.
And with joy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you always do.
Well, my mentality honestly is, I look at a glass of water, and some people would say it's half empty, or some would say it's half full. I look at a glass of water and I see what's in there is abundance, and
yes.
the leftover space is possibility
That's
and opportunity.
Awesome. I've never heard it like that before.
So.
That's so awesome. So in this journey, you've worked with the American Heart Association as well. You've spoken with them and
yes.
championing their cause. I've seen that all over. Talk about that, how important that is for you.
There was actually a local magazine, Edge Magazine, that
yes.
had shared my medical story on there. And I believe that's how the American Heart Association found me.
Yes.
And they have been just wonderful since day one when I shared with them what I went through and really my gratitude and how can I help pay it forward. They have reached out on many opportunities, and I have had, it's been a privilege to pair up with them on different venues with the Go Red for Women events,
yes.
with the Heart Ball, with
yes.
the Walk, all kinds of things, being a spokesperson on different assorted media. And I'm so grateful to get to do it. To me, if it makes a difference to even one person, it makes a difference, right?
Absolutely. So tell me, and you met these two special ladies.
Yes.
Can you share their names with us? Do you mind?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sarah Conaway and Tamsin Butler.
Yes.
I met, they are two other fellow stroke survivors.
Yes.
That I met via the Heart Association as well.
Yes.
And what started out as a coffee, three people sharing their stroke stories and their medical obstacles.
Yes.
But yet how we've all three chosen to thrive in different ways as a result. And
yes.
How could we take what we'd been through, offer even more to support to other people going through that, but also use it to maybe empower those going through a difficult time.
And you guys have almost even put a twist. So you're three stroke survivors. Let's just put that. You're all mothers. You're all, mm-hmm. Professional. You're all busy people, right? So, and you're all comical in your own way. Tell me about the story, how you named your group, and tell us the name of the group.
Yes, we are the Stromies, and that stands for Stroke Homies.
Stroke Homies, right? Yes. When you told me that, I was like, and then what does your shirt say? I almost died?
We have another one that says, I almost died. An organization sent that to us have shared stories with. What I love is that actually Tamsin's husband came up with the title. One day we were all getting ready to go to coffee, and he said, you must be meeting up with your stroke homies, huh? And so we came up with, we were kind of thinking of a name, and that just kind of stuck. And it has been great fun to just be on this adventure with them. We're different personalities,
yes,
but together, we always say we kind of have talked about the deficits or the ongoing challenges or the empty space that's left after a stroke.
Absolutely.
And that for me, I think, was probably the most challenging thing to recover from. And I'm definitely a kind of person where, what you think about, you bring about. And so I'm like, focus on the good stuff. And for me, this is day 2,244, Jay.
Oh my gosh.
Of extra sun, more sunrises and sunsets than I was ever supposed to see.
Good gosh.
And so some people wake up and they look outside and they say, more snow. Are you kidding me? I look out and I say, look at that fabulous sunrise.
That's
and look
awesome.
At it shining off the snow.
Yes.
And I don't care if it's 20 below or...
Or 200 above.
That's right. That's right.
So I want to conclude this by you talking to two people. Number one, the first person is, this is someone who doesn't know about heart conditions or they don't know about stroke. Tell the message of how people need to be aware and why they need to be aware and where they need to do to get and educate themselves.
That's a great question. Heart disease is the number one killer of men and women, more than every type of cancer combined. 80% of it is preventable. And so much of that is don't wait for something to go wrong. Get regular checkups.
Yes.
Be in tune with your body. What are you putting inside it?
Right.
You would not fill your car with a pile of sugar, flour.
Right.
5 tons of booze or whatever it is.
But they take better cares of their cars than they do themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They wouldn't consider to do that, but they pile garbage into their system, and that's where it first begins.
Oh my gosh.
So it's health, it's exercise, but it's being
in tune. It's preventive maintenance, and it's taking care of yourself. All right, here's number two person. This person is listening right now, and they're saying, my goodness, I've been struck, either heart attack, stroke. I'm in a condition where life is just bad for me. I want you to talk to that person right now and tell them how much hope there is.
There's hope all around you. And sometimes in the moments that are the most challenging, I always say, focus on, find one good thing and build on that. Sometimes you can feel like you're overwhelmed. Sometimes you feel like you're rebuilding your health from square zero.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I did.
Yes, you did.
But I remember thinking this, I'm awake. I'm awake. And whatever I have to do, I'm just going to take one step at a time. And don't be afraid to reach out because there are other people to support you. You're not in it alone. And by gosh, look up stromies.com,
yes.
S-T-R-O-M-I-E-S, stromies.com, or
yes.
Three Stromies on Instagram.
Awesome.
Our wonderful Sarah and Tamsin are doing so much great management with that. But there are people to support you. And so fill your mind with great stuff because so much of your battle in your recovery is your mindset and protecting that.
I want to say thank you so much for being with me today on The Connection. Sharing your why. Angie, you've shared the story with me so many times. I think it was just important to get it out to the world. And I'm so happy that you gave me the honor to allow me to help you spread your story, because there are people out there that need to hear it. I'll make sure that we include all the links below. And I just want to thank you for your time today.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
All right. So thank you for joining The Connection. Today's episode was brought to you by Cryotonic Active Recovery Center. If you are looking to improve, invigorate and refresh yourself, and you want to get yourself out of pain and you just want to get to a better place, don't pop pills. Check out Cryotonic at cryotonic.com, K-R-Y-O-T-I-N-K. I will make sure that I put that on the link below as well. But thank you for listening to The Connection, episode 4 with Jay Morales.